This is Talking Business.
I'm joined now by Alex Vinicker, who is the CEO and co-founder of BetaShares. G'day, Alex. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Alan.
Before we get going into what BetaShares does and is, your own story personally is quite interesting. You came to Australia from Ukraine and at the age of 16, couldn't speak English, and a few years later you were at a double master's from the Uni of New South Wales. Tell us about how you came to come to Australia in 1994.
Yeah, look, the story is a pretty common one in many ways. So I was growing up in Ukraine during the times of the Soviet Union, which certainly wasn't really a particularly exciting upbringing. There was lots of limitations and everything. Of course, there was a lot of propaganda. So as we were growing up, my family was always keen for us to leave as soon as the opportunity arises, really. And after the Soviet Union collapsed, we were very, very fortunate to have had the opportunity to come to Australia.
How did that come about? Did your father just apply to immigrate to Australia? He chose Australia?
Look, my parents have thought about a few different options, but Australia was definitely very high on the list, and we applied and miraculously got accepted to come to Australia. So it was a very, very fortunate time, and there was an amazing opportunity, sort of for us to be able to come and really build a life in Australia.
Just summarise your career after you left university and started BetaShares. I think for a while you worked with Malcolm Turnbull, in fact.
Yes. Look, after I graduated from university, I started working as a lawyer. I worked for a US law firm called Baker McKenzie, which again provided me with some exceptional opportunities to meet really interesting people, with diverse backgrounds. And after Baker McKenzie, I had joined a business called Turnbull Pilmer Capital, which was started by Malcolm Turnbull. And again, have just been incredibly fortunate to have the mentorship and the ability to learn from some pretty incredible people.
So you started BetaShares in 2008 as a manager of exchange traded funds. Did you have any idea then how popular ETFs would end up becoming?
Look, at the time we started the business, there was a lot of talk about ETFs in overseas markets. So the US ETF industry had been growing well and truly. We've seen signs of significant growth in Europe, although that was only just beginning. Most people in Australia kind of felt that ETFs are not really going to take off. People felt that the way financial advice is being provided in Australia, the way advisors get remunerated, which traditionally has been, by way of commission from actively managed funds, is really not going to work particularly well for ETFs, because ETFs are low-cost investments. They're very consumer-friendly, but they do not pay kickbacks. They do not pay commissions. So I was quite discouraged by many of my colleagues, many of the friends, and the feeling was, look, why would you start a business, if nobody is going to support it? And, our thinking was a little bit different at the time. We felt that ultimately, we will see change in Australia. There have been talks about what ultimately became FOFA, which is the big piece of legislation that's really started prohibiting conflicted remuneration. We thought that that's going to come at some stage. We also looked at the Australian self-managed superannuation fund market, and the SMSF sector by that time has been growing quite fast. But looking at the asset allocation of an average SMSF, you'd see that there was a lot of ownership of what were considered blue chip Australian stocks. So you got the big banks, Telstra, Woolies, etc., and there was a big pile of cash, basically. And after the GFC, which is really the time at which we were conceiving the business, people have felt that people have felt the effects of not being properly diversified. And we thought that one thing in particular we can deliver with ETFs in Australia is ability for investors here to build much more diversified, robust, cost-effective portfolios. And that was really at the time when we said, okay, we've got to make this happen.
So probably we better just briefly explain what an ETF is, just in case any of our listeners don't know.
Of course. Well, ETF stands for an exchange-traded fund. So as an exchange-traded fund, it's got the features of an index fund, and those features are the low cost, the transparency, and the simplicity of being able to understand what you own. But being exchange-traded, it means that it benefits from being traded on the ASX. So an Australian investor can buy and sell an ETF as simply as buying or selling a share on the ASX. ETFs come in a variety of shapes and forms, but the one thing they have in common is that they provide diversified exposure to a range of different asset classes or themes. So if we maybe pick, say, NASDAQ 100, if you type into your account with an online broker, whether it's CommSec, E-Trade, whatever it might be, if you type NDQ, which is the ticker for the NASDAQ 100 ETF, you'll be able to buy or sell NDQ the same way as you buy and sell ANZ, CBA, BHP, or Rio. But in that one trade, you will receive exposure and beneficial ownership of the 100 largest stocks which are traded on the NASDAQ, as an example. So NDQ is simple to understand. People know what it is. It provides investors access to the types of sectors that are missing in Australia. So we're very overweight resources and financials in this market, of course. We're very underweight technology. We're very underweight healthcare. And that's an example of an ETF that resonates with an Australian investor because it complements existing portfolios.
How many ETFs do you now have and how much money is in them?
We are now managing over 45 different ETFs. The assets under management in total in the range of ETFs that we manage is just over $5.7 billion.
And what do you charge on average?
On average, the average is an interesting concept. So our average number is around 40 basis points. So it's at 0.4% per annum. Compared to an average cost of an actively managed fund, which is about 1.5% per annum, and often also involves performance fees, that's low cost. But within that average number that I just quoted, we have an ETF called A200, which only charges 7 basis points per annum. So that's 0.07%. And on the other hand, say we'll have a fund such as the Global Cybersecurity ETF, which is going to be a fair bit more expensive at 68 basis points per annum. So there is a bit of a range within the average.
One of the things I like about ETFs, particularly yours, is that it isn't just about the major indexes like the ASX 200. You're actually taking, as you said, just then a cybersecurity one. You can actually target your investing into particular themes via ETFs. And today you've announced, I think, an ETF on that focuses on blockchain innovators and also a couple of other ones. So you're kind of now innovating quite interestingly, I think.
Yeah. Look, Alan, we always think about the future. And the future for Australian investors is really in technology, really in sectors which are starting to disrupt our lives in quite meaningful ways. I mean, we all benefit as customers of some of the revolutionary companies, be it Apple, Google, Tesla, you name it. How do we as Australians invest in those particular stocks, in those particular themes? ETFs really bring some of those themes to the Australian market and allow Australian investors to benefit as investors as well as consumers. And again, you know, sort of we're thinking about technology in several different ways. You've got the NASDAQ 100 we talked about before, which are really the winners of today. I mean, those are the companies that have built moats around them in many instances, have got very successful business models, and are generating significant revenues, significant profits. But we're also thinking about the winners of tomorrow. And in that theme, or in that vein, you think about areas such as cybersecurity, such as robotics and automation. We're talking about blockchain, just earlier. Those are big mega trends that are so difficult for an Australian investor, to get access to. And I think about, I think about my own parents. I think about, many Australians who are investing in order to be able to achieve secure retirement, or as secure retirement as possible. Allocation to equities is always one about growth, of course. You know, you want to achieve growth. And the more you look at the Australian market and the dominance of the Australian market by the resources sector and the financial sector, the less convinced you get that we've got enough in our own backyard to provide for that retirement. I mean, we're just seeing, the Royal Commission, sort of scrutinize, the conduct in the financial services industry. We've seen reforms from APRA, to really force banks to take more capital on board. I mean, clearly that's very dilutive to returns on equity going forward. I mean, we can't be expecting the same returns to be generated by the big four banks as they have been generating in decades before.
It's been very interesting talking to you. Thanks very much.
Of course, Alan. Cheers.
That was Alex Vinicker, who's the CEO and co-founder of BetaShares.